Welcome to the Marketing AI Sparkcast, the go-to podcast where we explore the exciting intersection of artificial intelligence and marketing. Our aim is to spark your curiosity and inspire you to infuse your marketing with AI. Join Abhi Varma, a B2B marketing leader, as he navigates you through this dynamic and ever-evolving landscape where technology meets creativity.
Hi, everyone. So we have been talking about AI a lot. And as AI advances, and it's been advancing at like a breakneck pace, marketing professionals are finding themselves at the forefront of this sort of seismic shift where they're navigating both opportunities as well as challenges. In today's episode, what we're going to be doing is we are going to be exploring how AI is reshaping marketing careers, from job definitions to new skills to recruitment strategies for marketing leaders. And we're going to discuss how recruiters and marketers should adapt. This topic has been receiving a lot of interest, and I am super excited that we are joined by our guest today, Matt Gill. He is a founder and managing partner of the Mica Consulting Group. He's a recruiter, and his consulting firm is focused on connecting both brands and people in marketing and digital and creative and advertising. And Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Abhi. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. So Matt, let's just dig in and maybe would love to learn from you a little bit about Mica. And I know that marketers are trying to find jobs within AI and marketing, but tell us a little bit more on what Mica does and what you were seeing today.
Sure. Yeah, so Mica, as you mentioned, Abhi, I founded Mica about 15 years ago now. And I like to joke that we're a small but boutique recruiting firm, but I like to joke that I'm actually the only recruiter at Mica. Everybody that is here that is a partner is actually a former marketing executive. And that's a big differentiator for us and why we're called a consulting group and not a recruiting group. Because what we've done over the years is really help from a more of a consulting perspective before we even pick up the phone and do our recruiting. So it's really important that, you know, I've got myself surrounded by a lot of really smart marketing execs, and I teach them how to do the recruiting. I've been doing it now almost 20 years, so specifically in marketing. So, so that's a bit about us. We're a national company, again, boutique, all over North America.
So to our listeners today, we're going to look at really three perspectives. We're going to look at the perspectives of marketers, from that of brands, and CMO and marketing leaders who are recruiting for teams. And then the third sort of perspective that we're going to talk to Matt about is really from the perspective of recruiters, both in-house recruiters and agency recruiters. So Matt, just give us your opinion on how you have seen the AI technology, even though AI is sort of, you know, fairly new, but how it is already altering the landscape of marketing recruitment, let's say over the last year, from the perspective of a recruiter. So that's sort of one question, and the companion question to that is, how are you seeing the demand for marketers? How are you seeing the demand for marketers change in terms of marketers are expected to be more AI literate? Are you already seeing that? Is it too early? Just walk us through both those things.
Yeah. So the first part on the technology of how it's impacting our business, there are a lot of new tools out there. You can equate it to, I'm old enough now to remember when Monster came out. And in the recruiting industry, there was a lot of scared people. Like, oh my goodness, Monster is going to put all the recruiters out of business. What it allowed us to do, and much like what AI is doing, it allowed us to be more efficient. It allowed us to get more information in front of us and in front of our recruiting teams faster so that we could be more efficient with where we spent our time on the human side. And so I think what we're seeing now is very similar, as you know, like you did with Monster way back when, is you're seeing these different AI tools that are coming out. And many of them are going to be fantastic tools, and many of them are not going to make it. And that's based on, you know, trial, error, and what the recruiters start to actually use and see results with, because we're pretty finicky. We don't see results immediately. We move on. We're shiny object type folks. And so I think that technology is going to be a lot of trial and error in how we're using it and how our recruiting technology partners are using it, like LinkedIn, how they're evolving that, what they're charging for us to use that on their behalf, you know, through their platforms. So I think that's going to be, you know, from a technical perspective, you know, how the tools that we're subscribing to, we're going to have to try out a bunch of those to figure it out. And then what ends up happening is once we start to adopt those tools, like a LinkedIn that replaced Monster for most recruiters, then they're going to have to continue to evolve it. And that's how we're going to be using it from a recruiting perspective. When you look at it more from a marketing demand, like what are our clients seeing? We're seeing it's really industry dependent, right? Because we're specializing in marketing across all industries. So there are some industries more in the B2B space where this is really more about content driven and what are we using from a content strategy perspective. But also they're looking at, you know, how does this fit into our marketing mix and should it? Because if you're somebody that's an early adopter, I mean, like the agricultural industry started adopting AI back in the early 2000s, you know, to figure out how they're going to maximize their crops based on soil and weather, right? And but if you're in the B2B sector, you're adapting AI just now, you know, 20 years later, you're going to be asking different questions, right? So I think a big part of it as a marketer is to identify your industry and your skill sets within that market. And where is AI as far as like on a timeline, where is AI in those specific industries, right? Because if you don't have that experience, you know, you'll see some job descriptions where they're like, hey, we need 15 years of AI experience. They're obviously an early adopter because that just came out 15 years ago. But if someone, you know, so the other side of that coin is like a lot of our customers right now are saying, where does AI even fit in? And so from a recruiting perspective, what do we need? Do we need somebody who's an expert that's going to come in and teach us? Or do we need somebody that's going to be really inquisitive about how this is going to impact and what part of AI is going to help us from a marketing perspective with our business? So it really is kind of case by case on an industry perspective. And then within those industries, you peel the onion back one more layer. It's like, okay, there are companies within industries that adopted it sooner than others as well. So I think as a marketer, if you're looking at, okay, what do I need to prepare myself for, is really if we focus in on the ones that are just starting to adopt AI, it's really being very smart about change, right? Because like you said, when you opened up, the rate of pace of change is just so fast. So kind of an underlying skill set before you even get to the technical capability is, are you good at change management? Can you adapt? Plug it in. Are you really inquisitive about the data sets and how those can impact your businesses? You know, you're seeing a lot in the top of the funnel and the lead generation. You know, how is that melding together as opposed to where it used to be? Okay, we got content people over here, we've got lead gen people over here. Now with AI, it's bringing it a lot closer together. So now you've got to be inquisitive and see how those things are changing, both from the tools that you have available, but how is your internal structure different now as a leader of marketing? What tools do you have to bring in? So it's asking a lot of questions about where you're at as a company and as an organization within your industry of where AI fits and how much have you really adopted it so far?
That's very interesting. And I think a very practical way of honestly looking at it, because I think very often teams and companies will just dive in head first without really understanding the context of adoption of whatever piece of technology that may be. So I think that's super valuable for you to articulate it that way. So let's talk a little bit about, even though it's been early days, and on, are you already seeing job descriptions with a demand for AI skills? Are you seeing that companies and brands want AI literate marketers? That's one part. And the second part is, conversely, from a marketing professional standpoint, are you also seeing resumes and profiles with AI in it? Just curious about, you know, has all this sort of noise really translated into real demand and actual skills?
Yes, and there is definitely that. I mean, there's a conversation almost in every position that we recruit for now of where does AI fit? Okay, so it starts there. And then part of what we do is we really tease it out, is we ask a lot of questions, right, to figure out what is it that you need and what do you need out of this position? What do you want it to accomplish? But what are the bigger business objectives? And how does AI fit into that? And that helps us understand better the level of expertise that people need. And again, I've been doing this long enough now, so I've seen different iterations of new technologies come out. And it's a lot of what we're seeing is history repeating itself compared to social media, right? There were companies when social media came out, they're like, we've got to do it. And our first question was always, okay, why do we need somebody who's an expert in social media? What is that going to do for your business? How is that going to impact your business? And so once we start to ask those types of questions, you get a better understanding of the level of requirement that our customer is going to need from the talent that they're going to be hiring. And that ends up being varied, right? It's so very subjective. You know, it gets into that point where it's not like, okay, we need somebody who has a very hard skill set, you know, somebody that types 50 words a minute. We're not looking at that. We're looking, okay, what is the level of AI experience that you need for this person to be successful in the role? And so that's again, goes back to my first opening, you know, when we were talking about the first question is really trying to evaluate, okay, where are you as an industry? Where are you as a company? And what's your level of requirement for AI? But the short answer, Abby, is absolutely. It's in every conversation that we're having. And then what you're seeing is, okay, well, what are those levels? And then understanding, okay, as a candidate, to follow up on your second part of your question there, is we're seeing it in a lot of resumes. We're seeing it, as an ability or an adaptation. But they're also in there because of the AI requirement with bots and things that are searching, right? You need to have keywords. You need to have those things matching. So that gets back into the level of, okay, if we're talking to candidates, we're doing exactly the same thing when we're talking to a candidate. Is what level of AI experience do you have? We've got it on your resume here. You know, you say you've managed it. What did it do for your business? How are you involved with it? And then that gets to paint a picture a little bit better to make that connection as, okay, is the level of AI that you were looking for here in this position match the experience? And again, it goes back to the customers. Like, okay, if you're bringing somebody in, do you need someone who's going to be teaching your company about AI, or are you going to be somebody that is going to be learning with this person, or are you guys already experts and you need someone who is a super expert that can then really start to translate and execute on it? But so again, the short answer, yes, absolutely. It's in all of those, but it's also, we're seeing it, you know, people are putting it in because it's such a requirement and hot topic that people feel like they might be missing out and they don't put it in. And I would say the other thing, I talked to a senior executive who's in job search just the last week, and so into the details of this and getting herself executed, getting herself a perfectly executed resume that would jive with AI speak so that it would be flagged. She was getting too consumed with it. And it was kind of taking over all of her experience that was just so amazingly valuable, her change management, her leadership. She was taking it to the extreme where she was trying to get everything in there that was all about AI so that she could show up higher on the tool, but not focusing in on really what were her awesome strengths as a leader in marketing. And so I've definitely seen that happening in the market where we're getting just a little bit, pendulum's going just a little bit too far as a candidate, trying to find out, okay, how do I improve my rating when I pop it in here as an AI candidate? So that's been interesting to see. And that's the first time I've seen that type of a response, right? You know, again, you go back to this, the history repeating itself. We had to, you know, people kind of understood that as we have LinkedIn, you know, when we go from Monster to LinkedIn and to other technologies, you have to adapt how you represent yourself in the market. But this seems to be going to a bit more of an extreme with some folks. And I would caution and advise, you know, definitely look at it, be aware of it, but don't get too far down that rabbit hole, because it can take away from everything that you're awesome at.
And no, thank you for that, because to me, I was reading an article where somebody was quoting that the fastest growing skill set in 2023 for marketers from LinkedIn was artificial intelligence. And suddenly, you know, within a span of 3 months, you had a bunch of people adding artificial intelligence or AI within their kind of repertoire or skill set that they have. And without really a way of truly articulating or quantifying or clarifying what aspect of AI are they looking at. Did they attend an AI webinar and they consider themselves AI knowledgeable, or are they actually doing anything with AI? And another point which you touched upon, which I thought was very relevant, is it's almost like the it's got to be a match of the skill of the individual in context of the journey of the organization and where that individual is going to fit in or snap in, right? Because if an organization, a marketing department, is in the early stages, then getting somebody who is a super duper expert using analytics for AI, is that the best sort of fit? So I think the context becomes, you know, super important in that regard.
Yeah, it absolutely does. The context, you know, and that's the piece that we talk about. We talk about this as a team. Every week we have a standing call to talk about AI. What are we learning? What are we hearing? What are we reading? And just to keep all of us kind of on that, I wouldn't say the edge, because we're not doing this. We're learning, listening, and sharing is what our approach has been. But it has been really interesting to just sort of see the impact. And like you said, it's like some people are taking a webinar and they're saying they're an expert. And okay, there's different levels of that, right? And that's where the AI, no matter what the tool is that is going to help recruiters find an expert in AI, until we start to really have those conversations, that's where I mentioned earlier, it gets us. These tools are going to allow us to be much more human and be much more connected and spend more time talking to people, because it's going to sift through that. But once we do get to that conversation and we say, okay, this on paper, this person's an expert. But if we sit down and talk to them, then we realize it's just a certificate with a couple of small projects and it's only been 5% of their work. Yeah. That allows us to make some different types of decisions and make better matches for our customers and for our candidates that we're representing.
Yeah. No, I think I like it. Like use of what you said, you know, summarizing it, it's almost like using AI is can make people more human, because it sort of frees up people to engage with humans a lot more.
Yeah. And that's, I guess I go back to, again, you know, being whenever there's a new technology that comes out in our recruiting industry, we always want to take advantage of it, and we always want to change and adapt to make, you know, to adopt those things that are going to make our lives easier, more efficient, and better quality for our output. But I just know that having done it as long as we have, there's been some big mistakes, you know, and if you talk to the candidates, you know, you've seen some tools now that are out there that are, you know, basically conducting interviews and recording candidates' responses like we're recording today, but it's AI generated. So it would be me talking to an AI generated question rather than, you know, the nice Abby that we're having the conversation with now. And the candidate experience, almost unanimously across the board, is terrible. Like the candidates hate it. They hate it. And I don't blame them, because you're trying to, you know, there's so much that we gather from interactions, even on video with human interaction, that we don't even think about, with, you know, how people react, how they respond. Do they smile? Do they frown? None of that is being captured in the conversation. So there are some customers we've had that have done that, and we've consulted them that it's not a great candidate experience, and you may want to rethink it, especially as you move up the food chain with regards to the seniority level of people. Because if you're trying to attract people and the first thing you're doing is putting them off, then they're just going to move. And so there's different places where this technology, like others that have come up, that have really done damage to brands and hiring brands because of the technology that they've put in place that really just is off-putting to the candidate experience.
And that's kind of a great segue into my next question is, in the world of AI, what do you recommend for brands and organizations to do that are looking to attract and retain top marketing talent? Because to me, again, AI is in high demand, but you also have a situation where people that have genuine AI skills may be getting courted from multiple different, you know, organizations. So what is your advice and approach for brands to attract and retain?
Yeah, that's so interesting because we had that same conversation, right? It's with our customers. You know, if your company's voyage with AI just started in the last 12 months, you're not going to want to bring somebody in who, unless their job is to convert the company to an AI leader, right? You know, your job is to come in and we're all going to be on board. I think the big thing is you've got to have a really good definition of where AI is going to fit into your business before you even start to go recruiting and figure out what it is you need. Because if you bring somebody in who's got ideas and experiences and budgets that don't match what the capabilities are of your internal, you know, mission and strategy, you're going to burn some, they're going to leave. They're not going to have the tools that they are used to having. So you really need to adjust and identify internally where AI fits in your organization, what you're going to be doing with it, at least in the short term. And then what is that you're what are you hiring for? What are your ambitions for that person that you're hiring? What are they going to be doing? Are they going to be transforming the culture of the company and you have to be an evangelist for AI because there are people that don't believe it's going to really impact their business? Or is this the culture that's like, we all want it, but we just don't know what we're doing. So we need someone who's going to come in here and teach us. And identifying that before you start to go and recruit, and you could be at some level, as long as you've got some definition of where you are as a company and there's cohesion around that, that will much improve your ability to attract and retain the right person with the right skill set when it comes to AI and ambition. Because we've seen this, again, you go back to social media, you know, in the professional services world, when social really started coming out, is we talked to some law firms where half of the law firms were like, we've got to do it. And other half were like, absolutely not. We don't want to have that risk. We don't want to lose control of those conversations. And so if we were trying to recruit for them, the person going in that had that skill set was like, I don't know. Like they don't know what they want. And so it's hard to attract and retain people if you don't have at least a conversation and a commitment to, this is what we are with AI. This is where we see it in our business. If you can't have that conversation, you're going to have trouble attracting and retaining the right people that have those skill sets.
These are great words of advice for anybody who is looking at attracting AI-based talent. Because I've heard anecdotes where the same thing, like you said, where organizations are looking at, you know, or actually end up hiring serious AI professionals only to find out internally there is no mandate, there is no budget, the environment isn't quite right, conducive for the organizational commitment to AI, or they're not as far along as in their journey in terms of, you know, what they thought this person could end up doing. So I think the environment in which you bring people in is super important, and that introspection needs to be done prior to attracting people, which has a direct correlation to, of course, the retention portion of the equation. All right, so we let's talk a little bit about obviously no one has a crystal ball, but we do know that AI is moving at breakneck speed. And I'm already seeing this online in marketing forums and CMO forums and events and those sort of things. But do you foresee an emergence of a new marketing job function, just to use your social media analogy, much like social media? Like in the early days of social media, you'd have your digital people or your comms people sort of be responsible for social. And in similar fashion, I'm seeing, you know, marketing operations people are doing some assessment of AI, or, you know, marketing leaders. But I'm increasingly hearing chatter about the need for like a marketing AI director or marketing AI operations manager or something like that. So do you foresee an emergence of that being a new marketing job function? Because the rate of innovation is not stopping. It's only accelerating, if anything.
Yeah. Like you said, we don't have crystal balls, but we can look at history and say with a very high level of confidence that those positions will exist in the future. You know, we saw it happen with content, right? Content is something that was, it was always there, but we never had it as a category. It was, you know, we had writers and we had others, but now we have whole departments that are content created, right? They've got their content strategists. They've got their content creators. They've got entire teams. I think McKinsey's got a content team now of over 100 people. And, you know, that's just an example, one specific example of how a position that didn't exist 10 or 15 years ago now has over 100 people in the department for a notable company. I think the other thing that you, and what they realized was that there was differences, right? Within content, there are different functions, just like there is going to be different functions within AI and how it gets implemented, how it gets used. What department is it going to be supporting? Is it going to be supporting, is AI going to be specifically for lead generation and lead creation for the sales team? Is AI going to be more content generated for the content team if you're using your content creators in AI? So I think the answer is yes, that's going to be there. I mean, so we saw it in user experience, right? That was the same thing. We always had somebody that was worried about user experience, but we didn't call them UX designers or UX directors. But now UX is an entire department within most marketing teams. And so I think it's a fair bet to say that, yes, there are going to be heads of AI within your marketing function that will roll up into the CMO probably, or technology, or the head of marketing and lead generation. As a recruiter, I'd love to see more marketing jobs being created. That's good for us.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think, and speaking of which, let's look at the other side of it. What does that really mean for recruiting companies such as yours and in-house recruiting teams, HR teams? So I'm switching to focusing on the sort of operational side of recruiting. So the sort of overarching matchmaking industry is sort of getting a serious boost with AI because of its ability to really look at vast information, vast pieces of information with multiple attributes and try and match sides up. And the applications could be recruitment, could be dating, could be agency and brand. There's so many different use cases for that quote unquote matchmaking kind of use case leveraging AI. But specifically within the recruitment world, there is a staggering amount of investment and VC funding that's going into this whole new breed of AI native ATS talent platforms, right? Like this Cake Resume, which is used by Google and L'Oreal, that raised $5 million, or Fletcher's $27 million, and there's so many more. But do you think that with this new breed of AI-infused technologies, it's going to simplify and accelerate the process for companies to recruit marketing talent? And what does that really mean for talent firms such as you? If in-house teams, in-house HR talent teams are now leveraging on AI to find talent faster, cheaper, are they going to stop needing the help of recruitment firms such as yourself? So would love to get your perspective on that.
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's what we started the conversation with, right, Abby? Was, it's going to allow us to do our jobs more efficiently. And that, whether that's a third-party executive search firm like mine or an internal recruiting team, there are going to be tasks that no longer require humans as much time to do. So there are going to be efficiencies that are going to be made there. We'll call it the category of matchmaking, right? You're not going to go, no crystal ball here, but I think it's going to be a long, if ever, time before you can just say, okay, I need to go find a significant other what AI tool is going to do it, and we're going to get together for the rest of our lives after one meeting. You know, that there's a human element to matchmaking that is inherently required and will never go away at any level. There's just, you're never going to be able to do one of those AI interviews that you and I talked about earlier in our conversation with an AI generated interviewer. And you're not going to get the job right after it. You're just never. There's always going to be that human interaction. And so I think, you know, with companies, especially companies like mine, where we're very focused on, you know, as big as the huge marketing world is in North America, it is still very much a niche when you think about the percentage of people that are in marketing versus people who work in finance or people who work in technology, just as a category. So, you know, for companies like ours that are very specific and very niche, we'll be fine, because what we add is AI is never going to be able to activate my personal network or the personal network of the people that work here at Mica. It's going to give us access to those people, but just because we have access to them, like on LinkedIn, what are your response rates to an email? You know, we've got that information already, but if people don't know who you are, you don't have a good brand or a good reputation, you're not going to get engagement with them. And so there's going to still be the need for all of those other things, like you were asking really smartly, is like, how do you attract and retain talent? I think that's, you know, that's not AI. That's your brand. That's being smart about your internal strategy and how AI is going to help your business. It's the same thing for us, is we need to adopt those technologies that are going to make us more efficient with our human component to what we do. Because just a quick anecdotal, like the last three searches we've run for EVP and above, all three of the candidates said, I would never even have thought about taking this job if I saw it presented to me online. They're like, it just doesn't make any sense. But when you start to pull it together and talk about the ambitions of where this company wants to go and what my impact could be, like, it made total sense. But until you had that real dialogue with an executive, I mean, you think about it, it's a big decision. You know, I'm not going to go and just invest my time to, you know, to have a conversation, you know, through this entire interview process. But if you really, you get to kind of uncover things in a human fashion, we're going to be fine. And it's going to always be required of us. We just need to be smart about how we use these tools. And we need to also be smart and not stick our heads in the sands and say, oh, this isn't going to impact us at all. It's definitely going to impact us. It's just going to be, where are we spending our time now? And like we said, you know, both said at the beginning of the conversation, it allows us to be more human, because the tasks that are usually taking 3 hours to do are now taking 1 hour. And we can take those other 2 hours and reassociate those to, you know, different activities.
No, I like that. I think there's something to be said about the factor of chemistry as an attribute when it comes to the grouping of matchmaking in the context of recruitment, because that is so essential. What organization culturally, I mean, of course, I'm assuming the right kind of skills and everything is there, but then there's the soft side of it, the chemistry and the dynamic of the organization. How big is it? Where is it heading? What's the vision? And those elements are harder, if not impossible, from an AI standpoint, at least yet. Who knows what the future holds?
I think I'll take it a step further. You know, when you think about executives and their moves, you know, they're thinking about all of those things you just mentioned from a career perspective. But more and more every year, all the information we're getting from candidates is not only is what's important for me from a career perspective, but how does it impact my life? How does it impact what I do outside of work? You know, we've run some searches in some very remote areas for companies, and we've always layered on, okay, you know, if this position is based in Burlington, Vermont, we need to find somebody that likes cold weather. You know, and so, you know, can you get that from AI right now? You could probably do some different things that would help you identify, okay, is this person in a ski club or stuff like that? But, you know, we had to put in a heck of a lot more work to find those people that had that, you know, connection. Much like if we were doing the same in Florida. Some people love Florida. Some people don't want to live in hot weather. So there's a lot of those things that, you know, AI is not going to be able to tell us, again, not right away, you know, what is your significant other? What's important to your significant other if you guys make a move to a different geography? You know, that stuff that you know, people aren't just going to throw that around in the first conversation, you know, just filling out forms, right? So, you know, I'm putting that stuff out there. Again, you, like you said, you know, it's probably not far down the road where you can get that information and do it quicker than you can now. But you know, those are all facets that we take into account when we're running a search. So,
and it's funny you use the weather anecdote, because to me that's sort of real. Earlier in my career, it was a globally recognized brand where I had a marketing leadership position, but the role was moved from California to Rochester. And I was like, you know, thank you, but no thank you, because, you know, I don't want to be frozen because I'm not a cold weather guy. So I hear you on that loud and clear.
Yeah. And there's lots of different levels to that. You know, we've done some searches in, you know, the deep South where you're like, that's probably not a culture that's going to work for me. And, you know, there are different facets to everybody on what's important to them with things outside of the work environment that are deal breakers. And, you know, nobody in our business, you know, nobody wants to invest all this time and get to the final straw and be like, no, that's a deal breaker. And we didn't figure that out before, you know, we got to that. Everybody's in love and wants the job, but, oh, you're located in Rochester. You
know? Well, let's pivot to, we were talking about the operations of recruitment firms. Are you guys at Myco leveraging AI? I mean, job descriptions, searches. I know you mentioned LinkedIn, and some of these AI features are getting built into LinkedIn, but just curious about how you guys are leveraging it for your operations. And it sounds like, obviously, the human component is here to stay, but it sounds like leveraging AI could really be a valuable sort of companion to the process of, you know, recruitment operations for firms such as yours.
Yeah, for sure. We use it for job descriptions. It's our starting point. It's not our ending point. That's for sure. I mean, I think what I've learned in the short period of time that we've really been having those weekly conversations over the last year with our team is it's really easy to decipher the tone, the tonality of an AI generated piece versus a human generated piece. And that, when you get back to thinking about the brand, the employment brand, we start with those job descriptions in a ChatGPT or choose your favorite one. But then we modify it and we make sure that the voice is the same as the voice of the brand that we're recruiting for, because it just doesn't capture it. So we do use it for that. We are one of our vendors that we partner with is actually invited us. It's one of the bigger ones that we've talked about around today. Has invited us to be one of their early adopters for an AI generated tool that's going to help us from a lead generation perspective. You know, like a lot of people think of recruiters, we're always looking for people to place. But before we do that, we've got to find companies that want to pay us to do that. So that's kind of where things start. So for us, we're using that as our lead, as part of our lead generation strategy, is working with them on some of their pilot programs, because, you know, we're, as we've talked about, where is a company and where does it fit? We are just now starting to adopt these things. So we're not one of those thought leaders that, okay, this is how B2B companies should use AI. We're ones that are starting to adopt it now. And we're lucky that we're being invited to the table with some of these other rather large firms. I think it's smart. They're getting the perspective of someone like us who's been around a long time, but, you know, we're not thousands of employees, you know, we're tens of employees around the country. And so we are implementing it both on our recruiting strategy as well as with our business development efforts.
Very cool. All right. Well, Matt, thank you very much for your time today. I think this was a very interesting discussion. Before we sign off, any parting thoughts about AI in general and how you feel our listeners, both on the brand side and on the talent side, you know, how they should approach it? Any parting thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the parting thoughts, again, is thinking about how have we imparted new technology successfully in the past and learned from that. A big part of it is being really comfortable with change. And if you're a marketer looking for your next position, be realistic about where you are in your adaptation of AI and what your skill strengths are. Continue to read, continue to beef up on that. And more importantly is everybody needs to be really comfortable with change. And one of the other things that we're going to see both on both sides, the hiring and the candidate talent pool, is data is going to be coming. It's always been important, but it's becoming even more increasingly important to be able to manage and measure the efficacy of AI and what it's doing for your business. You know, so I think those are some of the bigger picture things that I would say keep your eye on, as this continues to evolve as marketers.
Thanks, Matt. And to all our listeners, thank you for joining me today. AI is here to stay, and it is going to significantly impact our careers. So I would highly recommend all of you taking some time and really learning about AI that would help you embark on this journey. I would love feedback about this episode, so feel free to hit me up or hit up Matt on LinkedIn, and make sure to follow Micah on LinkedIn for latest updates. And for marketers, a great starting point for learning about AI is the Marketing AI Institute, which has a whole bunch of free resources for marketers. So hope you are able to check that out. But thank you very much. Have a good one.